All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and get started because it is, I think, a little after 10. Yeah. I'm going to leave the door open, but anybody who's over there, if you are hearing them, feel free to shut the door. Sometimes we could hear them teaching next door and it was too loud. So, good morning. We got two more
Good
coming in,
morning.
Dave. Two more coming in. You got everything? We need a bigger room and I need to get to the chalkboard. I'm trying to figure out. I wish the chalkboard was here. We'll figure it out. And there's Sister Bellamy. Hi, I know you're good. There's actually.
I'm blind.
You're good. Here, you have a
Thank you.
seat there,
Thank
please. And
Oh.
let's see, here's a handout for
Thank you.
you. Here's a pen. You're welcome.
Sorry
Okay,
to
so add Sister Bellamy too when you're done. And did everybody that just came in get a handout? Yes.
We've been that there, not there. Just get you what
Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started. I know we're starting a little bit late. We've got a very full house. We just barely have enough chairs, but that's great. So welcome everyone. Just to make sure there's four different pathway classes going on this morning. So this is the one that's healing and restoration. And the topic last time was on forgiveness, and this time it's on breaking down strongholds. So make sure you're in the right place. This is meant to be an interactive class. So lots more people coming in. There's a seat here and there's one here in the front. Good morning. Hi there. Cutie. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Patricia Driggers. I've been going to this church for just under a year and a half, almost a year and a half, I think it's been. So I was actually a dental hygienist for 35 years, and then I was starting to have neck problems, went back to school, got my bachelor's degree, and then got a master's degree in adult education. And I had several jobs before I got my dream job, which was doing education in a healthcare setting. So I love teaching and I love healthcare. So to have those two married together, I loved my job. But I just retired the end of March after working for 50 years, because you start 12 years old, you start babysitting. So I've been working for 50 years. So it feels really good. So welcome to everybody this morning. We're going to talk about a subject that, some people may think, oh, this doesn't pertain to me, but I think everybody in here, you must have an interest in strongholds if you're in here in the first place. But I think what I know I've discovered myself is sometimes we have strongholds in our lives that we don't even realize are there. So we're going to be kind of opening things up this morning, and we're just doing an introduction because there are a lot of things in life that we don't even know are strongholds. So we're going to start by identifying them. And then making us aware that, oh, well, maybe we do have some strongholds in our life. So this is, no. Oh, okay. You've got your setup different than I did mine. I was like, wait a minute, it doesn't match. So what is a stronghold? And this is on your handout. And you have pens. I have only one, two clipboards. So I know it's hard to write in here. You can either write on your chair or your Bible if somebody wants to grab this. I tell you what, my husband's in charge of the clipboards, and if somebody needs one, let him know. I'm not saying you have to take notes, but you may want to. And I think as we go through this, if you have ideas of things that might pertain to you, just know that that worksheet is for you. Nobody else will ever see it. I would hold on to it as long as you're planning on coming back to the next three classes. Bring it with you because you might want to add things. So I want this to be a learning experience for you, but I want it to be personal because strongholds are personal. Not that we might not ask our brothers and sisters to pray for us about certain things that are going on in our lives, but this is your worksheet for you to work on. So, you might want to think about this throughout the week. Just start thinking about the topic and the things we've talked about this morning and in the coming weeks. And when you think of something that pertains to you or that you're like, I didn't really realize this before, this might be something that's holding me back, just make a note of it. The hope is that you grow. So let's start out with just a quick prayer, and then we'll get right into it. It's probably going to go fast. I do, again, expect a lot of interaction. My last class, we had a lot of good interaction, and I think we learn from each other. So please feel free to be as quiet or as talkative as you want to, as long as it focuses on the subject. So let's pray right now. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you so much for this beautiful day. We thank you for this opportunity to come here to worship you and to learn about you and to take principles that we learn and apply them to our lives so that we can live our lives glorifying you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what is a stronghold? It is anything that keeps you in growing in your relationship with God. Pastor just preached about strongholds Sunday morning, 5:18. Yeah, that was Sunday morning. I'm quoting him. He said, "I can't read. Your thing is so small. I can't read it." I'm like, "No, mine was big on mine. So I don't know. You got a little one here and a big one here, and it's a little one I'm trying to read." So it's quoting from Pastor. He said, "A stronghold can be a trap from hell to keep you bound." So these are some of the things we're going to be talking about. And his sermon that he talked about that morning was called Mind Games of a Silent Spirit. Anybody remember that one? It's one of those messages that you don't want to forget. You want to apply it to your life. A stronghold might lead to a moral or a spiritual corruption of some sort. That doesn't mean it will, but it could lead to that. And unfortunately, a stronghold could become your identity. So that's something we want to guard against. So what we're going to spend almost this entire class doing is recognizing and identifying examples of spiritual strongholds. So everybody, take your thinking cap, put it on, and think before you speak, because we're going to try to stay on topic. And we're going to cover, I think I came up with about 5 areas that we're going to try to take strongholds and saying, okay, everybody name strongholds. Oh my, that's just chaos. So I kind of tried to put it, break it down into subjects. So the first one is probably going to be the easiest one for us to explore, substances. So we're talking physical and or mental addictions. So I'm going to try to get up here to the board and try to get this new chalk. They have new chalk now that has no chalk dust. And it took me a while to figure out how to work it, but it works like a marker. I have to shake it a lot and then it'll work. So we're going to start making some categories. So we'll start with substances. So be thinking right now, what are some substances that can become a stronghold in people's lives? Okay, and again, this could be a mental stronghold. It could be a physical stronghold, or like a mental addiction or a physical addiction. So what are we calling it? Substances. Yay, it works. Can you even see that? Okay, it's
push down on the tip.
Push hard. Oh, and
no,
it gets
push it and release. And it gets
the it gets darker. Do what? Oh, push harder. Okay, so start naming some substances and we'll try to get it to work. Substances that could be a stronghold in your life. Just start shouting them out.
Relationships?
Okay. So we're actually going to break these into categories. I'm not sure off the top of my head where that one might fit better, but it could be an addiction to a relationship. Who's ever heard of codependency? Yeah, so that's an addiction. So, yeah, great. I didn't even have that one on my list, so thank you for sharing. You have to be strong. Okay, relationships. What else would be another substance for physical or mental addictions or a stronghold?
Painkillers.
Good one.
Severe chronic pain.
Yes.
Very
easy to get dependent on. Yes. And if you say something, people aren't going to think you're using these substances, okay? Just anything you think of. What else? Alcohol. Good one. I'm getting a workout. Okay, what else?
Maybe gambling addiction.
Gambling. Good. I think I just had to wake it up. It seems to be working better now. Okay.
Tobacco.
What was it?
Tobacco.
Tobacco. All tobacco products. Yep. Good morning.
Good morning.
Do we have an extra chair anywhere? Yes. Yeah, there's a couple over there, and my husband. Oh, I forgot to introduce my husband. He's been so sweet to help. This is my husband, Dave Driggers, and he's helping pass out the handouts and taking attendance and all that. And he's going to be helping with the class too. So. Okay, tobacco. What else? Anybody else have any substances? A lie. What was it?
Pornography.
Porno. Good one. Anything else? Let me see what's on my list if I had anything else. You guys did really good coming up with. Ooh, that writes on you too. What is?
Electronics.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Gaming.
Yes, electronics and gaming. Good one, guys. Very nice. So we mentioned painkillers. What's a broader category of painkillers? Opioids, all drugs. Let's just put drugs, recreational drugs, all drugs. Painkillers is a big thing, though, because a lot of people, they have no intention of becoming addicted to them, but because of the pain, they do. There's some new drugs coming out. I don't even know if it's a drug. I read an article that they're finding something that will kill pain without having to take opioids. It's new. I don't remember what it's called. I just saw it this week, so that would be awesome. Okay, let me see what else. Anybody think of anything else? Oh, I had one on here nobody thought of yet. I'm going to give you a hint. Chick-fil-A. Food. Food.
She said it, but she just didn't come out with it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I was like, that is not one, but it is.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Don't be afraid to say it. I mean, hey, if you say something wrong, we'll just all beat you up. You know? we're mean people in here now. So what? Anything else? So what? When we talk about food or drink besides alcohol, what specific parts of food do you think are maybe the most addicting?
Sweets.
Yeah.
Sodas.
Caffeine.
Sweets, caffeine, yeah. Okay. Anything else? I just did a quick brainstorm on my own, and I knew with more people we'd get more. Yes, Dave.
I don't know if these are the kind you're looking for, but when I think of physical, the mental addictions, worry can be a strong part of the world.
Very nice. I'm going to hold off on that one because one of our categories is going to be focused just on mental because there's actually a whole bunch of metal ones, so that's really good. So anything else when it comes to mostly physical addictions can be mental too. Anything else? Okay. So I want you to be thinking through these and, you don't have to say anything to anybody, but if anything applies to you, you might just jot it down on your paper. At the bottom or some, I think it's on the first page, it says list possible strongholds in your life. So you might want to be starting to think about that. Go to the next slide. Okay. So here's a Bible verse. The cord is to keep walking around. I can't see it when I'm that close. Okay, so just a minute. We did substances. Okay. Recognizing time wasters can also be included in addictions. Okay. So Psalm 101:3. Okay. I'm not sure why I put time wasters there, to be honest with you. But time wasting, well, when you're talking about gaming and electronics, pornography, even drugs, gambling, I mean, think about it. All those things do take time. It even takes time to eat. If you're not fasting very often, you're eating more. And I've noticed that when I'm fasting, one of the most benefits I get out of it is the time. Because you're not spending time buying the food, preparing the food, eating the food, and then cleaning up all the dishes. I mean, it's 45 minutes, an hour, almost every time you eat, unless you're just running through fast food all the time. And then we can talk more about food addictions. So it is time. It can be time wasters. So I found this verse, something to think about by looking at the picture. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Psalm 101:3. So we talked about electronics. There's an electronic right there on the picture, right? We didn't even dare mention TV, did we? But think of what a time waster television can be, or things you're watching on the computer. So that's an example of that. Now we're going to go on to the next addiction category, and that's mental or emotional. So I'm going to actually have Brother Holloman speak now. He has something to share with us that falls under this category. And when he's done, he'll spark something in your mind to be thinking about and be thinking about what other mental strongholds could be in our lives, and we'll put a list of those on the board too. But the reason I'm asking Brother Holloman to speak is he posted something on Facebook that I loved, and as soon as I read it, I'm like, wow, that has so much to do with strongholds. So he's going to talk about that, and then he also has another amazing story. I'll let him share it that goes along with that. Okay. It's okay. They might. I'm trying to get that off. There you go.
Thank you, Sister Driggers. Good morning, everybody. My name's Sam. And what she was talking about with strongholds, I do, like a lot of us, I have some personal investment in that. I want to read you something. And I have notes here, so I stay on task. I want to read you something about strongholds that was, I was studying one morning, and this was a little epiphany for me. And it says this, I don't hear a physical voice from God, but you know when he talks to you. It's unmistakable. Here's what he told me. He revealed this to me. He said, Sam, your identity has been rooted in your failures for much too long. Your anchor of your identity is my word, not your failures. The memory of failures brings back nothing but remorse, but the word of God brings restoration. We all of us occasionally fail. It's part of life. There's no denying it, but our lives are not a summation of all our faults and failures. Because of Jesus' life, death, his sacrifice, his resurrection, grace and mercy are our heritage and our covenant right. There are many, I'm not going to get into this, but there are many things that because we believe in Jesus, the new covenant that he's made with us, there are many things that are our right. Because God is faithful, he will restore us and will transform our failures into faithfulness. Another stronghold that can take over your mind, and again, I speak from personal experience here, is guilt and shame. And I want to give you an epiphany I had about guilt and shame. Has anybody ever done any welding? You know what it's like. You know, so welding, there's several types of welding. One is with gas, acetylene and oxygen. But another type uses electricity, and I want to think about that for a minute, about electricity. You have a gun, which sometimes has a wire in it or an electrode, and what it does, and you will touch or get near to you the things that you want to weld together, and this very powerful electric arc will actually melt the metal together. So, okay, and it's very bright. Guilt and shame, to me, I have to think in physical analogies, the way my head works, are like welding arcs. Staring into a welding arc for even a short amount of time can damage your eyes. You can have temporary damage, which is, I think, if I can say the word right, photokeratitis, which is a short-term thing. It's very painful. There's no way to help getting relief from pain, but long-term exposure can destroy your eyesight because a welding arc has every wavelength in the spectrum of light. Visible light, it has infrared, it has ultraviolet. Ultraviolet can destroy your retinas, okay? So think in your, when you're thinking about what I'm saying here, think of this very, very bright arc, just like staring into the sun, you can't look at it because it'll cause spots in your eyes or worse. That to me is a very real metaphor for what guilt and shame can do to your spirit. So intense that they can blind your thinking to the truths of God's word, which are forgiveness, acceptance, healing, and restoration. The concentrated intensity of guilt and shame are, if you will, designed by our enemy, Satan, to weld our thoughts to the heavy steel plates of all our past failures. When you start thinking about, as I have, the failures that I've done in the past, it's like trying to drag a ball and chain with you. It's a weight. It is a weight on your spirit, your mind, your emotions. Okay. Thinking about the whole armor of God, just think about that. You know, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes prepared for the preparation of the gospel, all that. Think about the helmet of salvation for a second. To me, the helmet of salvation, the metaphor was back during the Roman time when they were wearing these metal helmets to protect against rocks thrown at them and spears and arrows and stuff. But think about the welding analogy. The helmet of salvation can also be like a very dark welding shield to help protect us from these bright arcs of guilt and shame. It helps us to see, when we put on the helmet of salvation, what these puddles, if you ever welded, you're looking for a puddle of molten metal. And that's all they are. That's all they really are. Guilt and shame are these little tiny but very intense puddles. They're too hot to handle. So we try to keep our hands off of guilt and shame because we're not built for that. Jesus did not do his sacrifice, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection for us to live in guilt and shame. And I'll be honest with you, I've struggled with that for years, but God is faithful. Know this, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, can't be stopped. It can't even be dulled by those, my metaphor, the heavy steel plates of guilt and shame, our failures. That guilt and shame try to constantly weld us onto our thinking onto. What we need to do is speak the word into our own lives in the name of Jesus. Speak, you know, plead the blood of Jesus over your own life. I have to do that every day. Speak the name of Jesus over all this stuff. And we all have stuff that bothers us, but we have a remedy and we have someone who is more than willing to help us. His name is Jesus. We all know that. The spoken word of God has the authority, the power, and the right to cut through any obstacle. Now, I want to go through a little mental exercise here, and I hope I'm not taking too much time, but this to me was important. I tried to put together a little AI video, and AI is not always cracked up to be, at least not at this point. So I want to do this. I want you all to close your eyes and imagine to what I'm talking about here. Try to build a mental image of what I'm saying here. We have an environment. It's late evening outdoors. Darkness is falling quickly, and there's an intense thunderstorm all around us. A howling wind is driving rain sideways. Lightning is striking all around. Thunder is shaking the very atmosphere. I was standing in front of a huge black billboard, and suddenly, huge three-dimensional red letters burst onto the billboard. The light was pulsing as if it had a heartbeat. The word it formed in all caps was the word failure. Standing there in the storm, staring at the word, unable to move, everything I had ever done instantly hit my consciousness as if I had been struck by lightning. And a dark, growling voice spoke above the wind, "You are nothing but failure." I felt myself dying. No hope, no future, only an immense weight of guilt and shame driving my mind into inescapable darkness. Without warning, a great earthquake started violently shaking the ground. The billboard was like a flag in a hurricane wind, tearing itself apart. A bolt of lightning struck the billboard and the letters exploded in every direction. The broken pieces fell to the ground in a great cloud of dust. The storm instantly ceased and a great calm was imposed. I looked up from where I had fallen to the ground, and to my surprise, the giant black billboard was still standing there intact and undamaged, but it was blank. I stared at it with incredulity for what seemed like an eternity. Suddenly, the broken pieces of letters on the ground leaped up onto the billboard and began assembling into a word, but this time the word that was formed was the word faithful. That's the end of my story. I had this vision when I was standing at the altar in a church. And I was standing there, and this guilt and shame just came over me like, Sam, all you are is a failure. And this vision came to me, and God says, I can turn your failure into faithfulness. That's what he can do, and that's what he wants to do, and that's what he will do. The word of God is mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. One last thing I have, I want to say this. When I say the word repentance, what comes to mind? Oh, God, I messed up again. I gotta go say I'm sorry. You know, maybe I'll try to do better. There's so much more to it. Repentance is largely misunderstood. It's much more than praying what I just said. God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I'll try to do better. Repentance is a fundamental and essential component of our relationship with a holy God. Repentance is a key that unlocks the storehouses of heaven and divine favor because its origin is rooted in humility, confession, surrender, and recognition of the sovereign authority of Almighty God. Repentance is more than just an escape from judgment and punishment. Repentance is a doorway opening into the paths of righteousness, divine direction, guidance, empowerment, and purpose. Repentance is the gateway into the power of God's restoration, renewal, blessings, grace, mercy, forgiveness, provision, and peace. Repentance is a divine privilege that has been extended to us to allow us to enter into God's holy presence with a clean heart, a clean mind, and a clean spirit. Repentance is your covenant right.
Awesome. I like those exercises that you have. You close your eyes and envision, and the way you worded that was so awesome. It was very picturesque, so thank you for sharing. So we're probably not going to
get everything done that we were going to this morning, but I would like to start making a list of mental strongholds. And I think hopefully you were thinking of that as Brother Holloman was sharing with us. So let's make a list now of mental. So go ahead and shout some of those out.
Depression.
Yep, depression.
Suicide.
And suicide, yep.
Anxiety.
Whoops.
Worry.
Guilt.
Shame.
What's somebody say? Anger. Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Fear.
I had that written like this on my paper.
Envy, jealousy.
Wow. Coming up with a lot here. Envy. Jealousy. We've got quite a list there.
Prejudice.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a good one. Prejudice. Yeah. It's harder to write on the board than when you...
Resentment.
And what else?
Culture, maybe? Like ingrained things.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I have brain fog. Culture and... I'm sorry, what did you just say, Brother Holloman?
Resentment.
Culture and resentment. Both of those are good. Resentment. Okay. We might be able to go on and on and on with some of this.
So there's a lot of good ones. I mean, you mentioned
yeah.
culture. I never thought of
I know.
Culture.
Oh,
things in our culture can keep us from being close to the Lord.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's so true. I'll look through my list, but I doubt. Oh, okay. Now I know what I did. The time wasters was one of our topics. Let's do that real quick, and then we'll do a couple quick questions. So that's why I got confused. That was actually one of them. So time wasters, we have TV. Okay, sorry, I'm going back a little bit. Facebook, social media, music, games, shopping, hobbies. That's so, we kind of missed that. We'll probably go back and get that next time because we are running out of time. So let's go back to mental and emotional. So we've got a really good list here. How about negative self-talk?
Yes.
And which is self-abuse. That's one I had on there. Negative. Self-talk. Abuse. Let's see if there's anything else that I had. Let me know if there's anything else you guys think of. Past or present mental, verbal, and or physical abuse from other people. Okay, so.
Trauma.
Yeah, trauma. Trauma. Maybe from abuse and other trauma. I mean, there's all different kinds of trauma. There's a lot of mental ones, aren't there? Most of our strongholds are probably going to fall under the mental pattern. I've got another quote from Pastor Dainsworth from that same sermon. A spirit of infirmity inflicts, torments, and paralyzes us. So this is kind of what we're talking about. That's what can happen if we let this stuff take control of our minds. Okay, I know we have a long list here, but does anybody else have anything else? Because we had some really good ones here. Anything else anyone can think of? Okay. Go ahead.
I don't have anything on the list to add, but just a thought. I've been in church since I've been 12 years old. And when I look at that list, I can tell you I've dealt with a lot of those strongholds. So the topic of the lesson today is identifying strongholds in our life. And sometimes I can think of my own experience, my own life. Sometimes I've had a stronghold. I didn't know I had it in my life. I didn't know it was hindering me as much as it was hindering me. And when I think about strongholds that Patricia's talking about, it could be anything. It could be a roadblock. It can be anything that's affecting our relationship with God or holding us back from surrendering everything to the Lord that we have. So identifying these strongholds in our life, some come and some go. We get deliverance from those. And the Bible tells us that the Lord is our rock, our fortress. He's our shelter. And when we identify these strongholds in our life, that's where we have to run, is to the Lord to be our rock and our shelter and our fortress in our life. But I think sometimes we can carry things and we're not even knowing what we're carrying. I can tell you, and my wife will tell you this, I'm a worrier. I'm a risk management nut. And, you know, I try to manage all my risks as much as possible. And a few weeks ago, we were coming to church, and I was carrying a very heavy burden on me, a couple of them. And my wife asked me on the way to church, she just said, she picked up on it. We were just driving. She picked up on it. She said, are you all right? And actually, what do I say?
Sure.
What we all say, yeah, I'm all right. I'm all right. You know? And I wasn't. I was carrying a burden. Got in church, and the pastor, when he started, I mean, during the part of the service where they're praying for people, and the pastor sometimes walks out into the congregation. And I don't know if the Lord sent him to me, or if it was just by him doing what he does a lot of times, comes out in the congregation, greets people while they're praying for people at the altar. But he come up to me, and he said, how's my friend today? What did I say? I'm all right. I'm good. And I wasn't. But I can tell you, when the pastor shook my hand, when he said that, all during that service, I was distracted. And that's what strongholds do. It distracts us from the goodness of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I was distracted. I wasn't in tune with the worship like I should have been. And I wasn't getting from that service what I should have been getting. I wasn't giving in that service as what I should have been giving. But that acknowledgement when the pastor came up to me, it shook me loose of that distraction at that moment. And I said, God, forgive me. And I was able to connect in that service. Strongholds distract us, and that's what the enemy's intentions are. Brother Sam mentioned a minute ago about casting away imaginations. He references that scripture. I had someone teach me a lesson one time when I was a young man. What's the biggest nation in the world? It's our imagination. And if the devil can get in our imagination, he can get you assuming, he can get you thinking, and that becomes a stronghold in your life. You start thinking about that. That's the devil's workshop, is in imaginations. So that's why the Bible brings us attention to that in order to help us to control that and give it to the Lord. So I don't know.
Very good. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, very good. We are running out of time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put my list of time wasters up there for a couple weeks from now. I'll get to that in a minute. And we'll continue with this. I'd like you to try to hold on to your handout. If you want us to keep your handout and want to put your name on it, that's fine. We'll keep it here for you and you can pick it up next time. And be thinking about these things, because this is meant to be introspective, for you to start looking at yourself and saying, okay, I want to be closer to God, okay? I don't want anything holding me back. So what things in my life have I maybe not identified before that might be holding me back? And we'll continue with this because I've got a couple more categories yet beyond these three. But let's go ahead and look at this next scripture, which is 2 Corinthians 10:5. It's the one that Brother Sam brought out. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So Dave prayed, forgive me, God. His mind was someplace else, and then he was able to enjoy the service better. That's a prayer we need to pray daily, to keep our minds in submission to the Spirit of God. So there's a lot here. There's a lot about strongholds. There's a lot to cover. We'll continue this lesson actually in 2 weeks. So let me go to the last slide here. Next Sunday, we are going to be out of town. Brother Cody Smith, who's actually teaching in this room, is going to be in here, and he's going to talk. We'll probably have to jump ahead to his topic a little bit because we've kind of pre-planned this. And then when we come back the week after, the next 2 weeks, we'll continue with what we've been doing here. But he's going to talk about destructive behaviors or addictions and the role of accountability and community in breaking free. Who here is in the, now my brain fog just kicked in. What's the class everybody goes to with addictions? What's it? Celebrate Recovery. Who in here is involved in Celebrate Recovery in some way? Okay, so this topic kind of reminds me of that, but I think Cody's going to share some of his personal struggles with you too, and kind of be focusing in on a couple things in particular, and then how community can help us. And then we'll come back, and I promise we'll finish this, and then we'll go on and get into scripture more and do some more digging for the next couple weeks. So this class is 4 weeks long. The other thing, I lose my voice sometimes. If you want to keep that handout, there are questions on there. The air isn't helping. Questions on there to start thinking about, working through on your own. And we will talk through those questions too in some subsequent sessions that are coming up. So it's up to you. Like I said, if you want us to keep the handout, we will. If you want to keep it and be working on it, bring it back with you, that would be great. And I have one other request, and that is we have a box somewhere where you can please give us our pens back. Those are our own personal pens. So we'll collect those and we'll bring them again so that you'll have them for the next few weeks. So thank you very much. Any questions before we go? Any questions on your own? Because I know we've got kiddos to pick up from Sunday school. What time is it? We've got 4 more minutes, actually. So any questions or any topics that you want to specifically talk about in upcoming sessions? Yes. Elijah.
Comment on something Brother Sam said.
Yes, so right.
The analogy of, like, you know, how the welding and how the, like, when you were talking about, like, the guilt and shame, like, how it affects our site that's so perfect because not only does it affect our site towards our salvation with Jesus Christ, but then it starts to affect other people, like how we see other people. Because if we take the redemption power away from our relationship with Christ and take that out of his hands, then when we start to look at other people, then we start to identify their problems and our judgment gets clouded. We start to become more judgmental of others.
Oh, that's good.
I love that. I'm gonna write judgmental spirit up here under mental.
Because if we take the power of salvation away, just for our personal selves and Jesus, that destroys all of us. Like, if I'm spending so much time, like, in self-loathing and my guilt and shame, you know, it's like that whole attitude about, like, AA, it's like, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic, then I'm going to start to see other people that way.
Very good.
Like, it came to me while he was talking about it.
I like that. Yeah, I like that. And when I read what you posted about the welding thing on Facebook, I'm like, oh, wow, we can use this in class. So thank you for the illustration, that analogy. That was great. Any other comments or questions before we? Yes,
as an
Sister
older
Bellman.
Person, I think physical illness can be a hindrance for us also.
Let's sickness, put that under physical.
Sickness, yes.
I agree. Wholeheartedly, you've got severe fatigue. It's hard to want to fast and pray, and yeah, when you're fatigued, yeah. Any other questions or comments before we dismiss? And then there is church in the sanctuary at 11. So go to the bathroom, pick up your kiddos, and we'll meet you in the sanctuary and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Thanks is in order to
the
brother and sister
Driggers. Oh. Thanks be to God. God and him alone. But thank you. All right, great.